Matthew chapter 27 in your Schofield, 1041. Page 1041, beginning with the 35th verse, we'll read responsively through the 42nd verse, the text verse being the 42nd verse. And let's stand, please, as is our custom, let's stand for the reading of God's word. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head this accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him.'" And let's pray. Father, thou hast given us this good day, and how grateful we are for our church. We're grateful for the services that we are free to conduct here, Sunday by Sunday, and how very special the Lord's Day has come to mean to us, and we're thankful for this place, for these dear people, and for our preacher. And so bless in a very special way, and pour out thy Spirit upon us, please, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Some of you are having problems, misunderstandings, fights, arguments, strife, bitterness, contentions. I will give this morning another one of those great truths in the Bible that can cure all of those. If what I'm going to say this morning were followed, not what I will say, but the truth I will deliver to you from my master, it would solve all the strife, all the problems, all the bitterness, all the divisions, all the split churches, all the fusses and fights at home, all of them in the entire world. I'm going to speak this morning on one little line said by the enemies of our Lord while he was on Calvary. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. That's both my text and my title. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. A little boy, far too little to be climbing, climbed up in a tree, way up to a limb beyond safety. The little boy could not return to the base of the trunk of the tree, and so he began to cry. A passerby looked up and saw him as he passed by, and he looked up and saw the boy, and he said, "Son, hold on, I'll come to get you." But the passerby could not do so. It was too dangerous, and it seemed too impossible for him to reach the boy. Soon a crowd had gathered at the base of the tree. Another sought to rescue the boy, and he likewise failed. Strong men tried and failed. And after many had tried, a little emaciated woman, without announcing herself, walked up to the base of the tree and timidly began to climb. Nobody could believe that she would climb such a tree for the safety of one little boy. To their amazement, she climbed where the boy was and held him tightly in one arm, and with the other arm and her two legs, she came back down the tree, brought the little boy to safety. The crowd was amazed. What strong men could not do, a little woman had done. What strong arms could not do, weak ones did. What muscles could not do, frail and soft flesh did. And somebody asked her, "How could you do what others failed to do?" And she said, "That's easy. I'm his mother." That's easy. I'm his mother. Father, bless the message today. To our hearts, please may I have the attention of my people this morning. Perform thy purpose for this message and this hour. Amen. May I have your attention, please. May I capture your mind. May I lead it from everything that might divert it from the things of God this morning. And may I be used of God to give you your needs on this June morning of 1984. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Are you looking and listening? He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. They meant it as ridicule. Christ's enemies said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself. Come down from the cross." And then, in angry ridicule, they shouted, "He saved others. Himself, he cannot save." Yet, in spite of their wicked intentions, they unknowingly uttered the deepest truth about Calvary. They did not know the depth of their statement, nor the scriptural truth of their accusation. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Had he saved himself, he could not have saved others. He had a choice. Save himself and be unable to save others, or save others and not save himself. Because he could not save himself, he is able to save all who come to God by him. Oh, he had power to save himself. It was said in the Bible he could have called over 72,000 angels, 12 legion, if you please, a legion being somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000. He could have called over 72,000 angels, and they could have come and ripped out the nails and healed the wounded side and the wounds in his hands and delivered our Lord from the angry mob. He had the power to save himself. He had lightning in his arsenal. He had tornadoes at his fingertips. He had earthquakes in his quiver. He had hurricanes in his scabbard. He had floods at his disposal and meteors at his command. This is no normal man. This is God's only begotten Son. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the Omnipotent One. This is the Omniscient One. This is the Omnipresent One. Of course he had. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And had he chosen to, he could have unleashed the floods of all power upon these men and have come down from the cross. Yet, though he had the power to save himself, I say he could not save himself. You say, I don't understand it. If he had the power to save himself, why could not he have saved himself? I say they were right. He could not save himself. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Well, you say if he could not save himself, how could he have had the power to save himself?
And if he had the power to save himself, how, why, then could he not save himself? I'll tell you why he could not save himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if Jesus Christ had used the power that he had with which to save himself, I could never have had my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, nor could I be redeemed for the blood of Calvary. I'm saying love kept him on the cross, and love kept him from saving himself. Now he can save me. He saves himself, he cannot save me. For I have to have a substitute. I'm a sinner. I'm condemned. I must have a substitute. And he's the only sacrifice acceptable in the sight of God Almighty. For he's the only perfect one. He's the only sinless one. He's the only righteous one. He's the only holy one. And God will only accept one sacrifice, and that's the sacrifice of perfection, the sacrifice of holiness, the sacrifice of no blemish. And he alone never sinned. He alone had hands that never took wrong. He alone had a tongue that never spoke evil. He alone had eyes that never saw that which they should not see. He alone had a mind that was pure. And he alone had a heart that was clean. And he alone had hands the righteous. And God said, there's only one way that mankind can be saved, and that is if the only sacrifice acceptable in the sight of God Almighty offers himself. And Jesus loved me so much he could not come down from the cross. He loved you so much he could not save himself. He had the power to do so. He could have pulled out the nails just like that. He could have thought those nails out of his hands and thought that spear out of his side and thought those scars off his hands, but he chose not to. Why? He could not come down the cross. You say, preacher, if he could not, what held him there? The nails? No, sir. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no way he could save himself. For God's love, God is love, and love must save others. For God so loved, and so loved, cannot save himself. If he had saved himself, he could not be love. And if he were not love, he could not be God. And had Jesus come down from the cross, the earth would have tipped from its axis. Had Jesus come down from the cross, the sun would have blushed. Had Jesus come down from the cross, the morning sun would have been unable to rise. Had Jesus come down from the cross, the moon would be ashamed to shine. Had Jesus come down from the cross, the flowers would have no reason to bloom. Had Jesus come down from the cross, the river has no power to flow. If Jesus comes down from the cross, the leaves would have fled their branches. If Jesus comes down from the cross, the gardenia has lost its scent. If Jesus comes down from the cross, its petals would have forsaken the rose. Had Jesus come down the cross, oxygen would have fled the atmosphere. Had Jesus come down the cross, the stars could not find their places, and God would not be God, and the sun would refuse to shine, and the moon would turn as black as sackcloth of hair, and stars would not find their way, but they'd fall to the heaven like untimely meteors are coming plummeting toward earth. I'm saying the very godhood of God was at stake when they said he saved others, himself he could not save. I say he could not save himself. You're right, angry Pharisees. You're right, bitter scribes. You're right, bloody murderers. You're right, screaming crowd. You're right, antagonists. He could not save himself. Others he saved. He could not save himself. But he could not save himself because his love for you kept him on the cross. He could not come down, but he didn't save himself. Because he didn't, he could come to a little shack in Texas where a little poor boy lived, and his mother could open the Bible and read it to him and tell him that Jesus loved him and he could receive Christ as his Savior. He didn't save himself, and now I can stand and look to you and announce the good news. He can save you. He can save you. Oh, these angry lips that shot like darts their arrows, and with their venomous poison covering the point toward the Savior. All these wicked words hurled like the stones of dishonor toward the Son of God. They said, he saved himself, or he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. They did not know what they were saying, but blessed be God, he commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, let's spread the message. We have a message to tell. I can go to the deepest sinner in this house this morning and say, he could not save himself, thereby he can't save you. I can go to the person gone down in the deepest muck and mire of sin and say, he could not save himself, but now he can save you. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you clean. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he can give you rest. Why? Because the love of Christ made it impossible to save himself. Down in Tampa, Florida, the story is not new to you old settlers here. It must have been 12, 13 years ago. I was preaching in Tampa, Florida. After we had the morning service on a Tuesday morning, we had a session for preachers and full-time Christian workers, and Dr. John Rice and Dr. Bill Harvey and I were there. We were sitting at the head table because we were the main speakers. And a great, I guess 200 or 300 Christian workers and their wives were out in the audience. Sitting 2 or 3 places down from me at the head table was one of the assistant pastors of the church where I was speaking. And all of a sudden, I saw him get up. And he ran to the door, a little door that went over like that, and ran out that door. I didn't think anything about it. I thought he had emergency, maybe somebody had called, or he had forgotten to bring something, maybe gotten a little sick or something and had to leave. But somebody followed him, and they opened the door, and there he lay on the floor just outside the door of the fellowship hall. We gathered around him because we thought he had some kind of attack, and then it dawned on us we're having steak, and some of the steak that he was eating had gotten lodged in his throat, and he was choking to death. One of the men, one of the preachers, got him and did what they train us to do, and hit him in the back and so forth, and bent him over and tried to help, but to no avail. It looked like he was dying. We were scared to death, really. I tried. I did the best I could to get that piece of beef that was hung, it was causing him to suffocate out of his throat, and I failed, and Dr. John Rice tried, and Bill Harvey tried, and others tried, and we were just frantic because he was gasping for his last breath. Until a little lady walked up, opened his mouth, and stuck her little frail fingers down his throat. And as she did, she got that piece of meat and pulled it out of his throat. And he began to breathe. And boy, we started singing and praising God. And somebody said, "How did you do that?" She said, "I'm his wife. I'm his wife." The church tried to save me and couldn't. The baptistry tried to save me and couldn't. Good works tried to save me and couldn't. Confirmation tried to save me and couldn't. Baby sprinkling tried to save me and couldn't. The communion table tried to save me and couldn't. Then there stepped up a meek-looking person. Sand between his toes. A look of compassion on his face. A stranger of Galilee, born of the Virgin Mary, walked the shores of Galilee, blessed little children, healed the sick, saved the lost, opened blind eyes and deaf ears, and caused the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. And the Lord Jesus of Nazareth saved me, made me his child, wrote my name in heaven. And somebody asked, "How could you do it?" That's easy. I'm his Savior. I'm his Savior. In this statement, ladies and gentlemen, is life's greatest truth. Listen to me. He saved others. Himself he could not save. But there's something there other than salvation. For if I save myself, I cannot save others. To whatever degree I live for myself, I cannot live for others. To whatever degree I save myself, I cannot save others. And the reason of friction and fussing and fighting is we're too interested in saving ourselves, and in so doing, we cannot save others. It is a human impossibility for you to save yourself and save others. Now, I make it very plain. If I save myself, I cannot save you. Are you listening? I cannot be the kind of pastor I should be if I'm concerned about what kind of members you are to me. Did you hear me? If I'm concerned about your treatment of me, I cannot be the kind of pastor I ought to be to you. If I try to save myself, I cannot save you. It's up to me. I have a choice to make. Shall I save myself, live for myself, want for myself, serve myself, or shall I serve you and save you? Let me be a little more blunt. I must help you regardless of what it does to me. That's what I mean. Jesus had to save us. It didn't matter what happened to him. He could not save himself, nor can I save myself, nor can I save you if I save myself. Let me go a step further. If you're concerned about how your son treats you, you can never treat your son as you ought to treat him. Did you hear me? If you're concerned about how your husband treats you or your wife, you can never treat him or her as he ought to be treated. If you're concerned about how your father treats you, you can never be the kind of son. For if you save yourself, you cannot save others. But if you save others, you will have to forfeit the right of saving yourself. And if we can somehow forget that we live, that's what Jesus did. Who am I? I'm a sacrifice. This is not the Son of God now. This is God's only acceptable sacrifice. His face was set like a flint toward Jerusalem. And every time a little lamb sounded his last noise at the altar, Jesus knew that lamb pictured him. Every time a turtle dove voiced its anger or displeasure at being sacrificed, Jesus knew that pictured him. Every time he saw a blade of grass die and fall to the ground, he knew it pictured him. Every time he saw a little leaf wither off of a tree and flutter to the ground like a snowflake, he knew it pictured him. But that doesn't matter. His face was set like a flint toward Calvary. I've got to go to Calvary. I must go to Calvary. I was born for Calvary. In eternity, I was meant for Calvary. If I do not go to Calvary, Jack Hiles cannot be saved. If I do not go to Calvary, the world cannot be saved. If I come down, if I save myself, the whole world will go to hell. He could not save himself. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're too much concerned about saving ourselves. What does it matter what happens to me? I pastor the finest group of people on the face of God's earth, and I must teach your young, and I must train your young, and I must try to teach them to live lives that are rich and fruitful. And when they fail to listen and follow the evil one and go into sin, if they'll come back to me, I must spend time with them and try to salvage what I can from their lives. What difference does it make whether I have time to play? What difference does it make whether I have time to frolic? What difference does it make whether I have any money or not? What difference? Why? I must save you. I don't mean from sin. I must salvage your youth. I must marry your young. I must bury your dead. I must help train your children. I must keep schools open so those schools can train your children not only in truth about math and history and science and English, but about the one who is the truth and without whom there is no real truth.
What difference does it matter? What difference does it matter what I wear? What difference does it matter how what I have? What difference does it matter what folks think about me? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, yet shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You who had the stars at your disposal. You who control when and where a tornado strikes. You who possess in your arsenal the hurricanes and the lightning flashes. You who could have, with your word, as you will someday, put down the Antichrist, with your word, you could have spoken and all of your enemies could have fallen dead at your feet. Thank you, Jesus, that you could not come down. For had you come down, I would have gone up. Had you not suffered your hell, my hell for me, I would have suffered my own hell. And now, dear Jesus, move over. Let me on the cross. Let me forget myself. Let me forget my needs. Let me forget my weary body. Let me forget my tired mind. Let me forget the load and the burden. Let me forget it. I want to save others too. And if I save others, myself, I cannot save. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. This morning, every problem of your life, every bitterness of your heart, every territory spirit desire to get it back, oh, get it back! Every selfish motive, every pity party would flee. He'd get up on the cross and hear the mob, come down, Jack! Come down, Jack! Save thyself! Come down, Colston! Come down! Save thyself! And then they laugh and mock and they say, he saves others. Himself, he cannot save. May it be true. For me and for you. And may somehow we get the idea that the joy of saving others will never come our way until we let love forfeit the saving of ourselves. Our Heavenly Father,